Again, I want to thank you for letting me come to be with you. Pastor, God bless you, sir. I am an independent Baptist, as you are, and I've been in hundreds and hundreds of them, and I put your church in the top 10 independent churches of America and of the world, And, Pastor, that's after seeing and preaching in almost all of them. I've been all around the world, and yours is one of the top 10 in size, in soul winning, in the Sunday school, in growth of all. And I thank the Lord for you. And God bless every one of you. Every one of you. So we'd like to stand up, my wife.
Amen.
We've been married 112 years. That's a long time. 112 years. 56 for me, 56 for her. That's it. That's 112. And good. Now tonight, I want you to be on hand at 6:30. Tonight, I want to speak on the driving force in your life. The driving force in your life. Won't you get it? It's for every one of us now. Everyone. Tonight, the driving force in your life. Don't miss tonight and be right on hand. Tonight, I may, if the choir will let me, the song leader will have the choir to sing the choir, the chorus with me. I may sing the verse on my favorite song just when I need him most tonight. And I don't do that very often. But if the choir will join on the chorus, and I can get along maybe on the verse. But you'll be here tonight at 6:30 is the time, I believe, and be right on hand for a wonderful, wonderful hour in the house of God. Open your Bibles now to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and the Word of God. John chapter 10. Listen very carefully. Let God speak to your heart. John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now come down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Beautiful, magnificent portions of the Word of God. John chapter 10. Now, I want you to follow with me. Some time ago, I flew to Charlotte, North Carolina to speak in the Northside Baptist Church, one of the great churches of the country, and I've been with them often. And when I got out of the plane and in the airport, I met with the pastor, Dr. Bradley Price, graduate of our school. And we got my suitcases and came out in the parking lot. And when he got there, he said, I have something for you. And there was a beautiful big Mercedes-Benz. Now, he said, this car cost $60,000 or $70,000, whatever it was, I don't know. Now, he said, the owner of the company is a member of our church. He wants you to have this car to drive while you're here. And it's yours to use all you want to. Well, we drove down to the motel, and I got there. And that night, I got in that car and drove out to the church. Beautiful, lovely car. White, snow white, beautiful paint job, lovely. And I parked the thing, and I was feeling so good about it. I preached my sermon, got back in the car, and rode back to the motel. Parked the car, and went in and went to sleep. Next morning, I got up. 6 o'clock, my usual time. And I want to go get breakfast at one of the great residents of America, McDonald's. And I learned that from Jack Hiles. And so I got out, got ready, and walked out the car. Had the keys in my hand. I put the key in the door, nothing happened. Nothing happened. I walked around the other side, put the key in the door, nothing happened. I tried again and again, nothing happened. I couldn't make it, couldn't open it at all. I said, well, I can't get in. I can't drive the car. And I kept trying. Nothing worked. I had the keys right there. And I said, well, I'll walk up and get my breakfast, and then I'll come back and try it again. I walked about halfway, and I got discouraged and came back and sat down in the motel. I said, no, I'm not going to go up there. I don't feel like walking all that distance, and I'm just going to sit here and wait a while. And so I did. I sat there and waited a while and worried about the whole thing. And then I said, well, I'm going to try it once more. I walked out there, put the key in the door. It opened at once. I got it in the cars, put it in the ignition, started the motor, and everything worked just perfectly. You know what my trouble was? I had the wrong key. Wait a minute. The key to my motel room and the key to the car were exactly the same color and the same size. Exactly. And I tried to open the car door with a motel key, and it wouldn't work at all. It wouldn't work. Wait a minute. I don't want you to miss what I'm saying now. My dear friend, if you want your life to be right, you've got to have the right key. Young people, you've got to have the right key. Yeah, and if you don't have the right key, it will not open unless you have the proper key. And you can open whatever you need to have, whatever God wants you to have, when you have the right key and you're in touch with God and walking with Him every single day of the life. But the right key, that's the secret of your life. The right key. Now, Christ is the key. Christ Jesus is the key. Now, get that. He is the key to all things, to life, to joy, to peace, to happiness, eternal life. He's the key, Christ, the blessed Savior. And you say, dear Lord, I want to know Him. I want to walk with Him every day. I want to know Christ, my Savior. When you pray, you're praying in the name of Jesus, or else you don't pray at all. And when you serve God, you're serving for His glory, or you're not doing it right. And you've got to come to say, I'm going to have the key to my life, the right key, and the key is Christ Jesus, my Savior. I'm emphasizing the Son of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door. He's everything you need. He's the key. Now, I'll give you four or five simple thoughts. Number one, Christ is the key to salvation. Altogether, the right key. He said, I've given them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He said, whosoever drinks the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And you've got to have the right key. Now, it's Christ Jesus. Just keep that in mind. This is the Word of God, and this is the only key. The right key is salvation through faith in Christ. The church can save you. Baptism can save you. Good works can save you. Clean life can save you. You've got to come to Christ. He is the key. He is the key to it all. And we miss that. Now, the Methodists, Episcopal, Catholics, Jews, Baptists, many of them will be missing it. And they put the emphasis on something else. When you've got to come back to see that this is the very heart of it all, that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. And He's all and in all. The wrong key. You can't open the key, the door by your family name. You can't open the door by the way you feel. You can't open the door by your human reasoning. You open the door by Christ. And He is the key to salvation. And this morning, if you're here without Him, I beg you to come today humbly and sincerely and say, I take Jesus as my Savior. I know He saves. He gives me life everlasting. I'm resting wholly and completely in Him. He is the key. I finished preaching one morning on a radio broadcast. We had a broadcast every morning for 40 years. And I spoke every day when I was home on the broadcast. And I finished up one morning, our 30-minute broadcast, 8:39. And when it did, a man came walking down the aisle, a fine, well-dressed man, and walked on the platform. He said, gentlemen, I thought I'd come out and tell you, I just got saved. Oh, I said, praise God. Where were you? He said, in my car. I said, you mean you got saved? Yes, sir. Coming in from Dalton, Georgia, toward Chattanooga, 30-mile trip from Dalton to Chattanooga. Riding in the car, had your radio turn, the radio turned on, and your station. And you told me that Christ was the Savior. I put my faith and my trust in Him. I'm born again today. And he stood on the platform. He shook hands with Dr. Faulkner, with my associates and other, and the pianist and all over there. And we stood there rejoicing. And he came back and stood on the platform with him again. Big empty building in the morning hour. And as he stood there, I said, sir, where do you live? And he named the town south of Dalton toward Atlanta, Georgia. I knew the town well. And I said, that's wonderful. I said, sir, if you don't mind asking, what kind of business are you in? What do you do? What's your work? He said, I am pastor of the First Baptist Church. But I've never saved until this morning. Never saved until today. Graduate of our seminary, Southern Baptist. Had it all. Had all the degrees, everything. But he said, I've never saved. I've been trusting my good works and my clean life to get me to heaven. I'd never put my faith in Christ until this morning. He meant that. He went back and told his church, had to be baptized again? Had to be ordained again? is preaching today. Wait a minute. I'm pointing out to you, my dear friend, that you need it. And if you're here this morning, I don't care if you belong to this church or a dozen more. That doesn't save your soul. You've got to know Christ is your Savior. And know in your heart that you believe in Him and He died for you. And you're trusting only Him to save you and to give you everlasting life. Now, Christ is the key to salvation. I come number two. Christ is the right key to peace of heart. Peace of heart. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give it to you. Not the world give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, he said, peace I leave with you. And Jesus said, come to me all ye labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. And we receive that peace when we come to the Lord Jesus. Now watch, peace is not education, it's not in legislation, it's not in possessions, it's not an accomplishment, but your peace is wholly and completely in Jesus Christ. He's the giver of peace. Now, first you're saved, then the peace of God is yours. And He's the key to peace, and you can rest upon Him. Now, books cannot give you peace. You can read them all, and you don't have the peace of God. And schools can't give you peace. You can have degrees from every school in the world and not have the peace of God. And attainment doesn't give you peace. You can go up to the top and reach big heights, but that doesn't give it all. That peace comes by Christ Jesus, the Savior, your Lord and Master. He's the key to salvation. He's the key to peace of heart. I began preaching many years ago, 1930, actually called to preach in 1928 and ordained in 1930. I went to my first church in Memphis, Tennessee. A little church just a few miles from the edge of town, in town now, a few miles from the edge of town, a German town. And today a very beautiful big church now and in the city. But I got there, a little one room built in 1860, a beautiful old church. And I began preaching, and I loved it. And had a lot of people say, the first time I baptized 27 converts, the first time ever baptized in my life. And I was so happy. And I stayed there for 1 year, and rejoiced in all of it, and praise God. Never had but one building, so I got busy and built a little sun's room in the back. I had the bricks hauled out from Memphis, and I put them up there and got a man to help me. We built a little brick addition to the church, and that is still there today, along with a big, beautiful church by the side of it. But I was in all of that, and that was a recent trip that I made. I saw that building again and thought of my first days in that church. I left that church that day on my recent visit and drove 5 or 6 miles to another Baptist church. Beautiful church, cost over $40 million. 40 millions. Auditorium seats, 7,500 people. Individual seats, 7,500 seats. Main floor and balcony. I walked on the platform and stood there and looked at it. That's the church where Dr. Adrian Rogers is the pastor. You know him, I believe, do you not? And a good man. And I stood on that platform and looked at it. That beautiful building. And the big choir loft up here and the orchestra and so forth. And I looked around the building, costing $40 million. And a beautiful thing on 120 acres of land on the edge of Memphis. And all of it. And I thought about it. Wait a minute. The man in that church has to get his peace from the same place that I got mine. Yeah. When I passed up a little one-room church. Little one-room church. Nothing else. It had to come from the same source. And that's true of all of us. No matter what you have in life, a big job, big money, beautiful home, whatever it may be, your peace of God must come from the same one, and that's from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, my peace I give unto you. You can have only one thought at a time. Center your mind upon Christ the Savior and rest in Him and know that He supplies and will give you what you need for today, for tomorrow, and for all of your life, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. But I hasten on. Christ is the right key to spiritual growth. Here's the Word of God, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, we're to grow. We're to feed upon the Word of God and grow. We're to develop. After we're born again, we're to grow in grace. We're not to stay the same. We're not to be babes. We're to grow and keep on growing and feed upon the Word and rest upon the Word. And so that's the first thing, that we feed on the Word of God and that we pray and trust God and just keep growing and moving. And the child of God must do that. Now, how long have you been saved? A year, 2 years, 5 years, 20, whatever it may be. You should be growing all the time. Amen. And I'm to be growing all the time. I'm to be growing in the Word of God, feeding upon this blessed Word, and getting new food from my soul at all times. Now, keep on growing. Don't be a baby Christian. Baby Christians cry and complain. Baby Christians hold back the progress of the Lord's work. And you've got to be growing in grace and say, oh God, I want to be growing and being what God wants me to be. I went to Chattanooga years ago. I'd been there a few days when a lady called me and said, "Brother Robertson, I want you to have a funeral service for my son." Oh, I said, "Mother, I'm sorry to hear." I was new in the city, never been to a funeral then. And I said, "I'll do anything I can." I said, "How old is your boy?" She said, 19. Well, I said, "I'll come out to see you right away, Mother." She said, no, just meet me at the funeral home in the morning at 10 o'clock. So next morning at 10, I went to the funeral home in downtown Chattanooga. And I went to the door, and the undertaker met me and said, "We're here to have the service." He said, "Yes, we know that. Come right on in," and put me on the platform. And in a little while, the family came and sat over on this side, and the visitors and friends came and sat here. And we waited. And then in a moment, the back door in the funeral home, and the undertaker came in pushing a little carriage. And on the carriage was a tiny casket. And he pushed all the way up the front, up there. I'm on the platform. I said, "I made a mistake. I'm in the wrong place. I'm going to have a funeral for a boy 19 years old." The mother said so. I came off the platform down the van. I said, "Mister, I made a mistake. I'm new in the city. I haven't been here in a funeral, this funeral home before." And I said, "I'm new in the city, and I'm going to have the service for a boy of 19. He said, "You're in the right place. Go back on the platform." I went up. I conducted the service. I went out the grave, and we buried that little body. And I said, "Mother, could you tell me what happened?" That Brother Robertson, no one knows. My boy never grew, never developed. We took him to the best doctors, the best hospitals in the world. Did all we could. He remained a baby. He was a mystery to the best of doctors. They could not explain it all at all. And he said, "We took care of him for 19 solid years. 19 years caring for him." Now, wait a minute. That's a long time. And that little mother, night and day, never took a vacation. Never left. Stayed by the side of that babe, a baby for 19 years. That's a sad story, but I know Christians who have never grown. They're saved, they're born again, they're little babies. They complain like babies, they cry like babies, they act like babies. Now God wants you to grow up. And you're to keep on growing. Now look, don't stop. But He's the key. Christ is the key. He's the key to spiritual growth. And you grow in grace and do the thing that God wants you to do. And trust God every step of the way. Grow with the Word of God. Read your Bible. Feed on the Word of God and grow in grace daily. I'm preaching in Memphis. A young man came to me at the end of the hour, 25 years of age, maybe a little more, and had a Bible, a beautiful Bible. Said, "Dr. Robertson, I want you to sign my Bible." Well, I said, "Be glad to." Took up a pen, opened it up, and began to sign, and looked, and noticed the Bible brand new, shiny new. I said, "Sir, you have a beautiful Bible here." I said, "Now be sure you read it." And openly he said, "Oh, no, I don't read the Bible." He said, "I'm a Christian, but I don't read the Bible." He said, "I let other people do that." He said, "I'm too busy for that." And he said, "But I make a collection of Bibles. I've got 25 or 30 different kind of Bibles. And I want you to sign my Bible." Well, I said, "Son, the Bible's not worth a thing unless you read it. You got to pick it up and read it. Read the Word of God." But he didn't take that at all. But I know some Christians that have failed to read the Holy Word of God. Now read your Bible and then pray much. And grow in grace by your prayer life. And pray without ceasing. And just keep on praying. Now Christ is the key. And you pray in the name of Jesus Christ for the needs of your life. And then enter into service for Christ. Into service for the Lord Jesus. And grow in grace. And don't be afraid to do it. Take on a job. Sunday school. Whatever you're doing here. Work of the church. Give a job and say, "Lord, I want to give a bit. I want to serve." Now what am I saying? Christ is the key to spiritual growth. Read your Bible and pray and serve God. And grow in grace and be what God wants you to be. Let me illustrate that again. The matter of growing and developing and going on. When I passed a little church in Memphis, Tennessee many years ago, one Sunday morning, up preaching a little handful of people, 75, 80 people in the church. And as I preached my sermon, all of a sudden, a head appeared right around the vestibule door. A great big head, red hair, sticking straight up. I thought, "What in the world?" And I'm a young preacher. And young, back in those days, I didn't have too many inhibitions. And I young, and I preach away. And so I saw the head sticking out back there. And I said, right in the middle of my sermon, I said, "Son, come on in." And that fellow walked in. In walked the biggest man I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, he was a giant. He walked in and sat down. I thought, "What have I done?" I thought the guy might be mad at me. I mean, walked in, great big fellow, big muscle, great big tall, red hair sticking straight up, and sat down. And I went on preaching my sermon. When I finished, he got to walk down the aisle. He said, "I want to be saved. I want to be a Christian." I led that man to the Lord. That man's name was H.E. Mann. He-Man. Got it? I'm not joking. He Man, H-E Man, that's his actual name. I said, Mr. Man, I'm glad you're saved. I said, praise God, you can use your life for the glory of God and do all that God wants you to do. I said, Mr. Man, what do you do for a living? How do you live? He said, I'm a bull lifter. I said, a bull lifter? I've heard that expression in different ways, you know, but I said, a bull lifter? I said, I don't get that. He said, oh, yes. Now, this has been years ago. He said, I carry a bull that weighs 940 pounds from home plate to first base in professional ball teams back in the old days, back before TV. Back in the old days, I carry it from here, from home plate to first base, and carry it back again. And the crowd gives me offerings. He said, I made plenty of money. I make money. I have money now. Photographed him in movies and everywhere in the world. The bull lifter, the bull lifter. And I went and saw the bull, 940 pounds. I didn't want to even be in the same field with him. And that fellow lifting up and carrying the thing. Oh, but wait a minute. I'm illustrating something. When he got saved, he was a babe in Christ. When he got saved, he started just like you do, like I did. He had to read the Bible and pray and grow in grace. And no matter who you are, highly educated person, man, woman, you've got to grow in grace. And you've got to say, I want Christ to be the key of my life. I want to grow in grace and be as the Son of God wants me to be. I hasten on. Christ is the right key to victorious living. The right key to victorious living. A lot of people are saved but don't have the victory. They're not victorious in the living. And God wants you to be a victorious Christian. And you can be. And has done all to make you a victorious Christian. And you can know exactly what it is to live for Him and have the victory. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, Christ is the key. He's the key. 1 John 5:4-5. To victorious living. Now that means there must be death to self. You've got to die to self. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. And Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Are you listening, Christian? If you want your life to count for God, you've got to reckon self to be dead. You die to insults. You die to compliments. You die to criticism. You die to praise. You die to all of it. You're dead to self. You know why you have so many heartaches and troubles? The old self-life.
Yeah.
The self-life.
And
you're to come to die to self. Reckon self to be dead.
Amen.
I've been criticized. Your pastor has been criticized. That's right. Men that you know and love from this platform have been criticized sorely, have they not?
Yes.
And yet they go on. Yes. No, wait. The thing that does helps you to make the going on, keep on moving, is this matter of reckoning self to be dead. I'm dead to all of it. So I can go ahead. Whether praise or blame, I take it and just go on my way doing what God said. And you've got to do the same thing. And this is the thing that you've got to do. Christ is the key to growth in grace. And Christ is the key to victorious living. And that is centered on dying to self and on the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You've got to know that you're filled with the Spirit of God. Empowered of God. And with the Holy Spirit. Now when you got saved, He came in. Every Christian here this morning has the Holy Spirit in him now. Every Christian. You have all of him, but does he have all of you? Have you surrendered yourself? Have you said, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Spirit of God. I want all that God has for me. Now, Christ is the key. He's the key to victorious living, to dying to self, and having the Holy Spirit to fill you and empower you and use you for all of your life for the glory of God. He's the right key. I give him a final thought. Christ is the right key to fruit bearing. The right key to fruit bearing.
Amen.
I'm the vine, you're the branches. And if I'm to bear fruit and win a soul, he's the key. Did you know some Christians never win anyone to Christ? Many Christians never even try to win a soul. They don't have the victory. They miss the whole thing. I can't save anybody, you can't save anybody. But he can save. I tell people about Christ. And he's the key. He's the right key to fruit bearing. And this will enable you to reach others and to bring them to the Savior. Now let God use your life. Let God use your life. So live it, you're daily telling people of Christ the Savior. So live it every moment, you're pointing someone to the Lamb of God. So live it every moment. There's a light about you in your attitude, in your way, in your talking, in your speech, in your actions. In all ways, you're showing that Christ is real. And you're pointing him to the Lamb of God. He's the right key to fruit bearing. Again, Christ is the right key that will give you a burning passion for souls. You say, I want to be a soul winner. Then make much of Christ. Think of Jesus and his death on the cross. Think of what he did for you. And say, oh God, I want to be a winner of souls. I want to bring people to my loving Savior. Let me give my closing illustration. I've just touched a number of things and didn't go into many of them. But this closing word. I'm preaching in Largo, Florida. That's right next to Clearwater First Baptist Church. And I stood on the platform to speak. And when I did, I looked around the building, of course, and right on the front row sat a young man. Just a young fella. And dressed in a blue shirt and blue overalls. Nothing wrong with that. And totally barefooted. Barefooted. Now, that church rather dignified, the First Baptist. And no one else barefooted. But that little boy sat there, a kid about 14 years of age, and feet stretched out in front of him, big bare feet, and listened. Oh, he listened intently to the sermon. And came to the end of it. I gave an invitation, and the fellow walked from that front row right here, walked back. I said, well, he's leaving, going. He's getting going out. Some people do that, you know. At the end of the hour, just get to walk out. And I said, he's going out. But I was wrong. In a moment, that barefoot boy came down the aisle, bringing a boy with him, four or 5 years old. He was maybe 19, 20 years old. And the barefoot boy said, Brother Robertson, this is my friend here. He wants to be saved. I turned to the older boy and I said, that right? I said, yes, yes. I said, who's been talking to you? And he pointed to the barefoot boy. He said, Nick, the barefoot boy. And I said, that's an amazing thing. In a First Baptist church on a Sunday morning, and a barefoot boy coming and sitting on the front row. And I didn't say anything about it. That Sunday night I came along, and brother, he went back again, brought two or three down the aisle. And every night I said, Pastor, who in the world is Nick? Who is that barefoot boy? Winning people to Christ all the time down the aisle. He said, Brother Robertson, you can't believe it. He said, I led that boy to the Lord. He's saved. His mother and daddy are lost. They're drunkards. Never come near a church. Can't do a thing with them. But that boy got saved. And I told him that Christians ought to win others. And he began doing it at once. He said he brings people forward to every service. And I saw him do it, my friend. It was an amazing thing. A barefoot boy. Humble. Just winning people to Christ. And bringing them down the aisle. Men and women. Husbands and wives. And some kind. Young people. And that boy named Nick just brought them down the aisle. I finished up on Thursday night in the meeting. And they gave me a love offering. In the love offering was a little card put in there. And on the card said, Dear Brother Robertson, I don't have any money. My mother and dad are not saved. I'm praying with them and for them. But I don't have any money. I can give you anything. But I've enjoyed the meeting. And signed Nick. And I thought, boy, that's an unusual thing. I kept that note. And the next morning, Friday morning, I was sitting with a pastor and his wife on the back porch of their home in Clearwater, Florida, where beautiful weather, and having breakfast. And we were sitting at the table talking and eating. And the doorbell rang. And the wife got up and went to the door. And the moment she came back. And behind her came this boy, Nick. Barefoot boy. Dressed the same way. Overalls and blue shirt. And carrying a big brown paper sack. And he walked up to the table very embarrassed, very much. He was a timid lad, actually timid. He said, Brother Robertson, did you get my note? I said, yes, sir, I did. I said, thank you for it. He said, there. He said, I want to give you something. I want you to have something. And reached down the brown paper sack and pulled out another sack and said, I got this for you. I don't have any money. I want you to have this. Hand me a sack. I looked inside, a sack full of radishes. I couldn't think of anything I need less than radishes. I said, Nick, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I thought he'd leave. He didn't leave. He stood there. He stood there a few moments and embarrassed as he could be and pulled open the sack again, went downside. He said, I have this for you too. He brought out a quart jar of dewberries. Do you know what dewberries are? A quart jar of dewberries. Handed to me. When I took it in my hand, the jar was moist on the outside, then picked early in the morning. And he said, I want you to have this too. I'm a country boy. I took the dewberries and the quart jar in my hand. I looked down at his feet and ankles. There were blood streaks all the way across the ankles. were the briars. The briars out in the field had cut into the ankles of his bare feet. And hand me that jar. Now, wait a minute. I'm trying to make you see something. God wants to use your life. He wants you to be a soul winner. He wants you to give your best no matter who you are. And you'll say, dear Lord, I surrender them all. He's the key to it all. Christ is the key. I'm the door. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Do you know him this morning? If you've never accepted him, come today. Let's pray. Brother Pastor, if you'll come, please, sir.
Now, our precious Father, thank you for what we've heard, and we thank thee that thou art the key. Please, God, in this invitation time, do a great work in our midst. Save these in this room that are lost, that know they're lost, that know they need to come and trust Christ. Pray for those that are struggling with peace and victorious living. God, may they come back to the one who can give victorious living and peace. Pray for those that have failed to be soul winners. God, may this be the day they come back to thee. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. As your head is bowed and your eyes closed, how many in this room could say, Brother Treber, I've heard Dr. Robertson preach. I know that as sure as I'm sitting here today, if I died right now, my heart stopped, I know I could go to heaven. I know I've been saved. Our heads are bowed. Would you just slip your hand up? I know if I died, I'd go to hell. I'm positive. You may put them down. How many of that crowd, you just raised your hand, but you said there's something, though I'm saved, there's something in my life that he mentioned today that I needed, and I want to get it right with God. Would you slip your hand up? I'm saved, but there's something I've got to get right.
Amen.
Oh, so many hands. Thank you. You may put them down. I plead with you this morning to get it right today. I plead with you today to get it right. One more question. You say, I'm sitting here and I'm not saved. If I died right now, I'm like that pastor at the First Baptist Church. I'm a member of a church maybe. Or my parents were members. Or maybe I'm religious, but I'm not saved. I'm not sure heaven's my home. And I want to acknowledge it by the uplifted hand. I want to raise my hand and say, Pastor, please include me in the closing prayer. I know I need to be saved. Would you put your hand up right now all over the house? I need to be saved. Yes, yes, over there. Thank you. You may put them down. Down toward the front. Yes, there. Yes, right over there on my left. You may put it down right toward the front in the back. Who else? I'm not saved. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Who else? Would you put your hand up in the balcony? Every teenager up there, yes, ma'am, I see it. Thank you. You may put it down. God bless you. Who else? I'm not saved. Yes, thank you. Who else? If I died, I'm not sure I'm going to go to heaven. Just put it up and put it down. Our heads are bowed. Dear Father, there are many hands that have been raised today. From the balcony down to the front, to the lower back of the auditorium. And I'd ask that today, these dear folks would trust Jesus Christ as Savior and have the hope of eternal life through Christ. Save them today would be my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please look here. I have prayed for you that raised your hand, but my prayer can never save anybody. It's personal with you and God. You need to pray and ask Christ to save you. All those that raise their hand, there's something in your life. You need to come and acknowledge that and kneel at this old-fashioned altar. Our church has gotten away from it in this country, but that's the need in our country today. Back to the old-fashioned altar, and not just the country, in our own life. Here's what will happen. In a moment, the lady's going to play the song, Just As I Am. As they play that song in just a moment, we sing this. Start to sing with Brother Condon. Counselors will be coming, men to deal with men and ladies to deal with ladies, to show you how to be saved. How to live for God. Right here at this altar, we'll deal with you. Not embarrass you, I promise you. I promise you, we'll not embarrass you. The easiest place in all the world, I think, to get saved is a church like this. Because so many will be coming down these aisles and all over. Would you come today? Here's what we'll do. In a moment, we'll stand. We stand, the instrumentals give us the first note. Brother Condon immediately start to sing. You start to come. Let's do that. Let's stand. As we stand, let's start to sing. You start to come right now.
Just
come. That's it.
I am,
now raise your hand. Would you come right now?
Plea, but that thy blood.